Thank you, Jesus. This is Sunday morning. This is 8:16:20. I came across this meme. It says, things are not getting worse, they're getting uncovered. They've always been worse. As far as we are concerned, all of it's always been there. It's just been hidden from us. And then it says, we must hold each other tight and continue to pull back the veil. That's what we need. That's the biggest, to me, the biggest enemy is not the deep state or the devil. The biggest enemy today is people's not knowing the truth, being ignorant of the truth. I want to talk to you this morning. This is a teaching called Walking on Top of the Storm. Walking on top of the storm. Okay, Matthew 14. Got a lot to share with you today. I want to make up for last week not being able to bring everything because of little tootie britches. Baby. Got to take care of the little ones. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 14. Verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Couldn't leave him alone for a minute. They got into trouble. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. So what was the deciding factor in the outcome of this? What was thought? The thought. Peter thought he could just follow Jesus on the water, and he could have, but there's another thought that came. Oh, but the wind. Probably, oh, but the waves. And that's what caused him to go down. All right, let's pick up with chapter 15, verse 10. He called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That should be our prayer. Lord, everything in me that's not of you, may it be uprooted. An enemy has sown this. You know, let them, okay, and he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth that goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, which is your mind here, your soul, and they defile the man, your thinking processes. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. This morning on the program, I got into homosexuality again, and about how there's homosexuals, especially one in particular at the salon I go to, that's a very kind man, and I've known him for a lot of years, and I care about his well-being, and he's a gay, and you can just see the inner struggle. He's an alcoholic, been to rehab and different things. I'm thinking, if this was the answer, you know? But just telling people, if you don't renew your mind to God's Word, see, this is the key. A lot of people never get to where they need to be in God because they will never submit to the Word. They will never do the very first thing that we're told that we need to do. And so those thinking processes come from the influences around us, whether it be the television or whether it be movies or the schooling we went through. We've all been propagandized or MK-altered, whatever you want to call it. Maybe not to the point of some, but we all have been. We have all had to wake up and come out of a delusion of what we thought was real and we thought was right that really is not. It's a lie. And it was no different in their day being under the Pharisees. Everything was the letter of the law. And Jesus was trying to talk to them about it's not what you're doing outwardly. It's what you're thinking that's causing you to fail, causing you to sink. Okay. What have we been taught? Oh, only Jesus could walk on the water. He's the Son of God after all. Wrong answer. Jesus didn't come as the Son of God per se. Jesus came as the Son of Man. He's always been the Son of God, but he came to identify with humanity. He laid aside being God and came as a man. God, he became flesh and dwelt among us, and he chose to not come here and do some big God display to impress us, but to come as a man and show us an example that we could follow. There was only one difference in Jesus and Peter. Doubt. Doubt. It's only doubt that keeps us out, right? Jesus brought his domain to our domain. The Petra song, he came from heaven to earth to show the way. See, he did. He came to show, give an example, to show us how to walk it out as the last Adam. He came to walk it out just like God meant for Adam to walk it out. But we know what happened. He got sabotaged at the get-go. We don't really know what time he did get to walk right until the devil showed up. If I know the devil, it probably wasn't very long. But Jesus came, showed us how to do it, and not fall into the trap that Adam did. Okay, a few more scriptures. Matthew 16:5. Wait a minute, I better keep my place where I was reading. 16:5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? See, they're just thinking naturally. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye a little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? What difference does that make? This is what Jesus is saying. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? See, if you can get a hold of faith and get off of these natural things, we can multiply and make more bread. See, don't you remember the 5 loaves? You remember we were out there, nobody had any money, and everybody was hungry. It was 3 days' walk back into town, so what happened? We blessed it. We break it into pieces, and God multiplied it. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? That you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The propaganda machine was what you needed to be concerned about, not about, did we not bring any bread in the boat like we should have? Always tending to natural things? No, he's trying to get them to look at where the real damage was coming through the propaganda of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay, John 14. Jesus got frustrated. You can just read it in these scriptures at times, like he's going, after all of that, you still don't get it? John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because of going to my Father. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he will ask anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus is walking out as the Son of Man, and he is saying, I am no different than you. I have decided to lay aside who I am as God and become flesh and walk as a man to show you how to do this so you can follow my example. You have the same power that I've got by using my name. When man fell, there was now a barrier between God and man. Jesus broke down the barrier so heaven could once more be in the earth. He brought heaven to earth. His kingdom come, his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's why I told the disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer. What have we been doing for the last, how long now? 5 years, 6 years? 5 years. 5 years. No, our petition, we started in 2015. So 5 years, praying the Lord's Prayer. We're starting to see the landscape change. Not just us, you hear it everywhere, and you have been for hearing it for quite a while, quite a few years now, coming out of every sector, that prayer. God has awakened people up, and they began to call for heaven from heaven to come, not stay in heaven, but to come here. It's been ours all along. In fact, I'm not even so sure we didn't even pray it in school. Way back in the day. Okay, John 14, I just read that to you. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. This is Ephesians 2:13. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall or partition between us. See, this is that wall that was instantly made a barrier when Adam fell. He could no longer talk with God, walk with God. God could not communicate with his man any longer. He eventually made a way, Abraham, you know, where he had sacrifices and those things, but it was not quite the same. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity between even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off unto them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. He has the same access. We have the same access that he had because of the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Do you know that's the way God sees it? That's why we don't have to have Jesus physically come during the millennial reign. I mean, I hope he does. I hope we get to see him, but it's not necessary. Why? We're all under the commonwealth of heaven. That's how God sees it. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. We're the lively stones, Peter says. I think it's in Peter. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The kingdom is within us through the new birth. That's how heaven came to earth. It's in us. The kingdom of God is in us. Jesus said that to the disciples. Okay, Luke 17 now. Verse 20. And when he was when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. I'm fixing to have a TV shoot, not this week, but next week, and I'm touching on that right there about the church has always seemed to want to bail out of everything. Rescue me, get me out of this mess. When God's given us everything, the kingdom of God's in us. God's not on a bailout mission, he's on a rescue mission. But he's not on a bailout mission, and that rescue mission is for us to go and snatch as many out of the fire as we can. That's the rescue mission. Not sitting on our suitcase waiting for the plane. Beam me up, snotty. Whatever. The only obstacle is removing the barrier. Once we are born again, we must get rid of the mental block. And that's where Revelation or Romans 12, 1 and 2 comes in. Being renewed in our mind. I'm going to read it just for the sake of those who will listen to this later. I said, oh Lord, if I could just get people to just get it, just not think about doing anything except getting in the Word and finding out who they are. And then finding out where their place is. You know how rich that is? Have you ever been to a church where everybody knows their place and everybody's doing it? I know. No. Why? Because we've not obeyed. Now we might take some test that they sent off for to test your what your personality are or your motivational gifts are and all of these things. Heard someone say one time, yeah, my kids call that the Christian horoscope. Only God can tell you. Only His Word can reveal to you your calling, where you belong in His body. But no, because they take the natural attributes and they test you and say, well, you fit here and you fit here and you fit here. That's not the way God does it. That's why you don't put a novice in office, because you're going to have a mess on your hands. I think most of the people in politics are just that type of person. There's not a lot of intelligence anymore. You know, used to that meant something. Today it's just, where have y'all come from? Anyway, 12, 1 and 2, 3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the barrier. What you think? Your thinking processes are your barrier. Or the lack of a barrier. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:24. That's why I can't go along with the new church movement, kinda, of these home groups with not any leadership, everyone just kind of doing their own thing and having a say and everything. How's anybody going to grow and grow up? We don't need any more flighty, okay? We need mighty. And you're not going to get mighty by everybody just having their sit-in. We back in the 60s again? We see how that happened. We sowed the wind or reaped the whirlwind. Okay. 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So everybody knows, whoever you teach to, everyone has areas. And you don't need somebody in your face. You don't need somebody being condemning you or judging you because of it. You need to hear the word. It says there to gently instruct, not to strive with men. We're not here to correct men and to judge men because of their condition, because we already know they're in a condition that they need help. That's why they're here. But gentle instruction of the word, it woos them. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. See, they'll see the truth in the gracious words that you bring, whether it be personally, whether it be in a setting like this, and they that they may recover themselves. They'll see, oh, I see my error, not because you told me, you dirty rotten sinner, you need to get saved, or you need to stop that, or you need to do this. No, the word will correct them. And they'll recover themselves, it says. They'll say, oh, I see. That's what Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come near you. I mean, you change a person's mind. That's what it's about. Change your mind for the better. The kingdom of God's at hand. Repent means change your mind. This is a convincing. But I'll tell you what, you can get more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. Any day. People don't want to hear that. You start coming down on somebody, that wall goes up. Mm-hmm. What's the old saying? They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Type of attitude really is true. Okay, it's up to you. All right, Galatians. Chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, what's the yoke of bondage? Our own works, because this whole chapter 4 preceding that is talking about Hagar and Sarah, about one who walks in the flesh or the one who is attains by God's promises. All right. Verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're following the Spirit, then you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's when you're just doing stuff in the flesh that you get into trouble. And it goes on and talks about all the works of the flesh there. Last week's teaching was about the master you serve, whether your thoughts run that, whichever line your thoughts run, that's the master that you serve. And Kenneth Copeland made this statement, it is so true, you serve your thoughts. This is why controlling our thoughts is so important. You know, for so many years in the Word of Faith movement, I guess you could say, or the Word of Faith teachings, it was all about, if you could just say it enough, you could get it. I'd have to say probably the last 6 years anyway, the Lord has had us so focused on our thoughts and our thinking. I'd have to say that's pretty well been the whole line of teaching for 6 years. Coming out of fear, not letting your thoughts, you know, be wrong. Okay, let me pick up where I was. Well, let me just put it this way. Operating the kingdom of God has everything to do with your thoughts. More so than anything physical that you do. Because you know what? If your thoughts, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is, whatever you're thinking, that's what your actions are going to be. If you're fearful, it's going to come out in your actions. If you're in faith, it's going to come out in your actions. So it's your thinking processes. Proverbs says, as a man thinks, so he is. You ever come across people that it just flows out of their mouth? They're just so fearful. Or you come across a person, they're so upbeat, and they're just, everything is a can-do, which is rare. Did you come across that? Well, that's how our weapons are. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. Like, well, Lord, should we have brought some bread? He thought, bread? I'm talking to you about spiritual things. About faith. Faith calls bread to multiply. See, if you know about that, that's what I'm talking to you about. I'm not talking to you about these natural things. That's what I mean. There's so much mixture in the church. Always has been from the time I've been in it, a long time. And the Lord had us out for a lot of years. So we were able, it's kind of like right now with the Mockingbird Media. When you start coming out of that, you quit watching so much television and stuff like that, it's like you began to have your mind renewed to different things and you see it clearly, plainly. You're no longer brainwashed. Well, it was the same way in the church. They were so brainwashed by the system. The television and all of those things, the propaganda was not, it wasn't any different from the world. We were hearing the same thing, and that's any wonder why the church acts like the world? Eating the same diet. All right, the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every high and lofty thing. What's that, a thought? That exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every what? Thought. Into the obedience of Christ. Flesh versus spirit. You must stop identifying yourself by your past. Jesus said that he that puts his hand to the plow. Now listen. I'm going to stop here because I want everybody's attention. You must stop identifying yourself by your past. Well, I missed it there. You know, back in 85 when I did that, you know. Or yesterday. You have no past. Jesus said that he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Have you ever watched anybody looking back, trying to walk? Stop identifying yourself by your failures. How many times you've missed it, etc. You know the drill. In the kingdom of God, all is forgiven. You have no past, so get over yourself and move forward. And quit saying I missed it. Now, you know, if you have, the Lord will let you know and he'll tell you to correct it or whatever, but don't live there. Like, constantly feeling like you miss it and you don't get it right. God's not pleased with that. Joyce Meyer said this, you can be pitiful or powerful, but you can't be both. That's why when someone comes up to us and accuses us of something, we don't even really have to defend ourselves. Jesus didn't. Last time I checked, I'm okay and I'm on my way. Who are you? The times that I have had someone do something to me or whatever and I have just cast it off, the Lord got them back for me. And I never said anything, never did anything, didn't really give it another thought because I'd been used to being treated that way, that I just kind of, you know. And the Lord just would correct him or whatever he needed to do. So, the Lord will fight our battles for us if we'll let him. But so much of the time we take it into our own flesh with a sarcastic remark or something to try to exonerate ourselves or, you know, whatever, defend ourselves. And the Lord says, well, I would have fought that battle for them, but they stepped on out there and did it. Jesus was led as a shepherd or as a sheep before his shears as dumb. All right, Matthew 6:24 talks about the master. Which master? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So you have to decide. One master is about always fretting about what I'm going to eat, wear, or drink. Always fretting about stuff. The other master doesn't take a care of how they're going to get anything. They distrust God. Your baggage is not you. You can get rid of it anytime. Just let go. Are you using it today because you're afraid to go forward? We've had it so long, it's so familiar, we don't want to let go of it. You are who God says you are, and that's that. This is your day. You are all out of excuses. Anyway. I remember talking to a male relative years ago, and they said, I can't obey the Lord now because I'm smoking. It's been many years ago. It's just an excuse. God's not asking you to help yourself quit smoking. This happens in the mind renewal process. You don't clean yourself up to be good enough to come to God. You come to God, and He, through His Word, cleans you up. Oh, I made such a mess of my life. Yada, yada, yada. Here we go. So what? Forgiven. Time to move on. You don't think God knew the mess you were when you showed up the first time? Fact is, we're all a mess when we show up. We're all out of order. And that's what the Word does. It puts us back into divine order. All right, time for us to move on and quit acting like your own welfare. You know, always looking for someone to bail you out. The rapture or a miracle. The church has become a welfare state, so any wonder the nation? Yeah. Always heard that. Well, look at the church, so goes the nation. Better call 700 Club or another 150 programs you listen to, their prayer chain to help you out. That's the way they were trained in the 70s, back in the charismatic move. That's the way everything went. All these women's group raised up, all these ministries with these prayer lines and all that kind of stuff, to where the church got to where all they did was watch these shows on TV, and every time they needed something, they'd call a prayer line. They're still doing it. No more bailouts. You have all you need. Stop looking back. No more excuses. Just start acting like God says you already are. One more scripture, Exodus chapter 14. Verse 13. For Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch forth thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. The Lord's expecting us to get a rod, the rod's the word, and go forward. Quit acting like a baby. Quit letting your past dictate your future. We have to believe what God says about us, not what our boss says about us or what anybody else says about us. Don't you hate it when you get around people you hadn't seen for a long time, and all they do is bring up your places where you missed it? Does it make you want to run? It does me. The last time that happened to me, I thought, I don't care if I ever see you again in the longest day I live. Is that all you can remember? Is that all you remember about me? Yeah. See, nobody likes that. We need to think the way God thinks about us. You're okay. You're right on target. We don't need to look back where we missed it. It's not productive. We need to just keep moving forward. Because He's leading us. Okay.